today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
We are experiencing some technical difficulties this week.
It's a Christmas miracle, Jim!
No, Patrick. I don't think that's what that means. Patrick, this is very exciting. Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you and yours, Jim, and all who are joining us here for this very special occasion.
This is a very special Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we have many guests here on the Zoom, and we're going to do a holiday song countdown.
Very exciting. Yeah. A little bit different from the other countdowns we've done. You know, because of the obvious nature of, you know, the holiday season coming around every year. So songs are added and old ones are discovered and new ones come in and all that. So I think it's a very interesting approach to the countdowns we've done, you know, previously, which were just focused on one artist.
Yes. Previous iterations focused on one artist. This time, you really had your work cut out for you in terms of tabulating all
yeah,
the votes.
It was a lot
because it could be anything. It could be any holiday song, really. Anything that even tangentially, you know, was holiday related,
right.
As we probably saw in some of the votes. We did get 77 listeners to participate in the poll, and 197 different songs
whopping
got votes.
Yeah.
And I want to mention to you people that people could vote for up to 10 song. So with those 77 listeners voting, that was like a million votes, right?
Something like a million, yeah, or something like
yes.
that, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a lot that you had to deal with.
It was a lot, and I just wasn't all that long ago, maybe a couple of years ago, that I learned how to use the third digit place doing arithmetic, so I needed it for this poll.
Okay, now, should we just jump right in here? I want to mention to the people listening to the podcast that as we're recording this on Zoom, we have a number of different listeners of the show who are with us here, and mm-hmm. they'll have a chance also to chime in, mm-hmm. you know, Christmas term, chime in when a song that they voted for comes up, or just if they want to comment on a song, what have you. We'll sort of go through it that way, right?
Yeah, and one thing I'd like to say before we start, Jim, is that I appreciate everyone who voted, and we set up a form on our website, and people went in and put 10 songs in there, and there was also a box for comments, and there's one comment I want to read before we begin, because I think it's very appropriate. Now, being as that I set up the form, when I first set it up, of course, I forgot to put a name space on the form, so we got about 15 to 20 votes before Jim caught that there was no name on there, so I don't know who made this comment. If whoever made this comment is on the call, please speak up and take credit for this, because I think it's a really frames this whole thing very well. And the comment is as follows. This is far and away the most difficult list to compile. One has to weigh the strength of the song and also the performance / rendition. You have to choose traditional hymns or carols versus modern versions. Do you only go with sacred songs or only secular winter themed numbers? Also, there are songs that you have deep personal connections with that aren't the best song or the best version, but it wouldn't be Christmas without playing them. All these factors and all this deliberation is enough to make even the jolliest elf turn into a Grinch. Well said. So I hope we didn't ruin everyone's holiday by making them do this poll, but we appreciate everyone who voted.
Does anyone recognize that comment?
Did anyone on here make that comment? It will remain anonymous. So whoever said that, thank you very much. You were one of the first 15 or 20 that voted.
Okay.
But I think it makes sense. It's just really, really broad and really, really hard. And, you know, that comment really brings into play all the different threads, at least when I made my ballot, that were considered.
All right. Well, I'm really interested in what made the top 10 here.
Okay.
And the thing about Christmas music, just in general, I'll say is some people love it. Some people less so. Some of the songs, you know, get played to death, and we all, you know, sort of have to endure that. But I think, to me personally, I like that you just, you know, for like 1 month of the year, you have this sort of special music that comes into your life, mm-hmm. and you get to enjoy it. And in most cases, it makes you happy, maybe not all. And then you can take a break from that and, you know, go back to your normal I don't know, Beatles and Guided by Voices and you know, The Who and all that stuff, right? And then you come back to this special music again next year. And it's that whole idea. I think part of the reason why these songs really endure is because we want to hear them every year, because that's what, you know, the holiday season is, right? It's that whole idea of like falling back into tradition and kind of the repetitive nature of it is, I think, part of what makes the holiday season so
absolutely
appealing,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Enough from me. Let's hear the first song.
Merry Christmas. I don't want to fight tonight with. I don't want to fight tonight. Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight. Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight with you. I'll wear a Santa and a sleigh and tell her why is it always this way. Where is Rudolph? Where is Blitzen, baby? Merry Christmas, merry, merry, merry Christmas. All the children are tucked in their beds. Sugar plum fairies dancing in their heads. So excited. I love you and you love me, and that's the way it's got to be. I'm your gift from the start, 'cause Christmas ain't the time for breaking each other's heart. We're a Santa and it's live. Tell me why is it always this way.
All right, the Moans, Merry Christmas. I don't want to fight tonight. There's a lot of parentheses, by the way, in Christmas songs.
There are. That's so true, man. Yeah, yes. It's so interesting.
That is from 1989, mm-hmm. and of course, written by Jeffrey Hyman, a.k.a. Joey. Carries on, as I read somewhere else, carries on the tradition, great tradition of Jewish songwriters writing Christmas songs, which
Craig's
giving a thumbs up on that. Of course, Joey was a fan, big fan of Phil Spector.
Yeah.
And I think that may have his being interested in eventually doing a Christmas song. Well, this was pretty late in the Ramones' career.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
on the Brain Drain album, if I remember
that's
correctly.
Right.
Yeah.
And the one last thing I'll say about this is, well, I think the sentiment, I would like others to weigh in on that. You know, is this good sort of holiday sentiment? I think it works because it's the whole idea of like, maybe Christmas is that one time of year where you can set aside your differences,
yeah.
mm-hmm. right? And just, you know, we'll deal with that stuff after the new year, right? And I think from one standpoint, this could obviously, you know, first listen to it. This is, you know, about a couple, you know, a romantic couple, a married couple, what have you. But it could also literally be about the band members themselves.
Yeah, especially during this period of the band's existence, right? When there's a lot of turnover and different things happening. Yeah, and I think it we're showing our true colors here, Jim, by starting off with a Ramones tune. So you'll definitely had a lot of people that voted for this and love the spirit of it. And yeah, it's cool. It's not a traditional type of song about reminiscence or nostalgia or, you know, Christmas being a blank canvas to paint your wishes on, but it really is a cool tune, and it's rock and roll, man. And even at Christmas, that's important for all of us.
So yes, and I should note also this was number 10 on the count.
Number 10.
Counting reverse.
Yeah, reverse counting. Board. Starting
right,
off with
right.
10.
When I said this is the first song, what I meant is it's number 10.
Number
on the
10.
Countdown. Okay. Any thoughts here from the crowd? No. All right.
Somebody out here voted
Craig,
for this.
Craig Rosenstein. Craig Rosen.
Yeah, so great. I mean, I'm not sure where it was. Definitely on my top 10. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was number one, but it should have been number one. But I'll probably say that after every song I hear. but yeah, it just really, you know, I think I sort of tend to like the sort of darker Christmas songs, the ones that give like a dose of reality. I think we'll probably have another one coming up by the Kinks, so I won't talk about that one, but I know there's this other song by Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, and I'm not sure, it might be a cover called There Ain't No Chimneys in the Ghetto
in the Projects.
In the Projects, right. Yeah. And yeah, I just, I like the sort of darker song than that, you know, that fits in with like the whole Christmas thing too, about, you know, peace on earth. You, not only on earth, you want peace in your own house, with your own, with your own family, you know.
So true. It, yeah.
Everybody gets kind of stressed out and crazy around the holidays, especially if you're like hosting a party and people are coming over. Everybody's on edge a little bit. So the perfect song.
What, yeah,
what else can you say, you know?
It's funny you say that too, Craig, because I had an aunt, my Aunt Dorcas, that was her real name, rest in power, Aunt Dorcas. She would put a piece of paper, she started doing this during family gatherings at another time, but it carried over to Christmas, where these are the topics that will not be discussed tonight. And it was taped on a piece of paper in the dining room. So no arguments were breaking out back in those old Foster Middleton holidays. This is the second choice on your ballot that I'm looking at right now. So,
oh, okay. Okay. I know it's number one then. Yeah. Okay, good.
I noticed that Mike Snyder has his hand raised.
This was on my list. And one of the thoughts I have is that sometimes artists make schmaltzy Christmas songs. And I like when an artist uses their own style to do their own type of Christmas song. And that's one thing I like about this song. So that's great. Why it's, I don't know if it's in my top five, but it's definitely on there. So I'm glad it made it.
That's an interesting point. It's a very rockin' song, and it definitely sounds like the Ramones, but they didn't add any Christmas flourishes to it, which is which sort of goes against what I was saying earlier about the Phil Spector love.
Yeah,
I thought maybe they put some sleigh bells in there or something, right?
To
sort of ramp that up, but no, it's just a straightforward Ramones song, right? Justin.
Yeah, I mentioned quickly in the chat that I introduced it to my high ability math group this week because we were doing Christmas graphing, drawing, whatever. And at first, like when Joey's voice kicked in, they looked at me like, what's going on? But, you know, partway through, one of the kids was like, this is really poppy. And, you know, they kind of were bopping their beat. So, you know, like this works for, you know, the 10, 11-year-old set, too, if they can kind of set aside their preconceived notions of what a Christmas song should sound like.
Oh, interesting point.
All right. We move on to the next song, number 9 on the countdown.
Number 9.
Of course, that is Wham! With Last Christmas from 1984, written and produced by George Michael. And this made it to number 2 in the UK, by the way. I don't know if it was actually released in the US as a single, but surprisingly, somebody in the chat said they never heard it before, and I find that to be impossible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also read, Jim, two things I want to say. One, it was the best-selling single to never reach number 1 on the UK chart. So it sold the most copies while never making it to the very top spot, which is kind of interesting. And also, you had a very insightful comment about this when we were preparing for the show, aka text messaging.
We do prepare a little bit.
But you said you found it very interesting that this is one of those songs where the cover versions actually stand out more to you than the original. And I agree with that.
I think so. I think I do like this song just purely as a piece of work. But what I found surprising when I went back and listened to the original was just how incredibly dated it sounds production-wise. My God, it is so 80s, isn't it? Okay, let's turn here to Rob Gates, who has his hand written.
Well, you said it's not possible for anyone to have never heard it before, so I'll take your word for it and assume that I've heard it and then quickly forgot it.
That works.
Yeah.
Is Trip Bacon on the chat? I don't see him.
No.
But, okay. Well, I would like to read a comment Trip submitted regarding this song, Jim. He said, here's my ballot. They're in no particular order. However, the chorus of Last Christmas is such an earworm that if I don't find myself singing it to myself throughout the entire month of December, it just doesn't feel like Christmas. So that's one of those ones that Trip really needs to hear for it to feel like that time of the year for him.
I'm wondering let's see, you mentioned, Patrick, how popular this was in the UK. Should we turn to our UK expert here, Stephen Routledge? Stephen, is this a big deal over there where you are?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you hear it in pretty much every shop you'll go into throughout the whole month of December. It was a massive hit and you hear it. Yeah, I mean, it's like a ubiquitous Christmas song. When we started off with the Ramones, I was like, okay, maybe none of the songs that I've chosen or even heard of might be on this list. Because I don't know about you guys, but for me, your Christmas music, it's not supposed to be cool, I don't think, because Christmas isn't really cool. Or the temperature might be, but, in terms of... So I think the fact that it's cheesy and it's very 80s, I think that's why it works really well as a Christmas song, because... I was growing up in the 80s, so therefore it has associations with childhood and Christmas, which is a good thing. And it's cheesy, which fits perfectly for Christmas.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. I think when it comes to Christmas music, I'm much more forgiving, right, as a listener to the styles and the artists. Because you want a certain amount of that kind of cheesiness, like you said, or schmaltz or whatever, it feels right for the season, and it's sort of like comfort food, right?
Yeah, and I would be interested to see what some of the different younger generation, like I see intern Jason and I see Mackenzie down there. I don't know if you guys, via the cover versions, have this is how it's kind of a standard, because I know with my daughters who are probably just a little bit older than you guys, but not much, know it from versions of, actually, if anyone remembers a TV show called Glee, they did a version of this song, and also Taylor Swift covered it and Carly Rae Jepsen and many other people like that. So I'd love to know what you guys think about this song.
It's Mackenzie. I teach college students. I'm a graduate instructor, and Glee is definitely where they first heard it, and they know the Wham version, but Glee is definitely it for them.
How about you, Jason?
I just typed in the chat, but I remember hearing the Taylor Swift version first. I think just what other people have already said, the melody is just so catchy. I do prefer the covers. It's just something about it's the essence of the song more than the song itself.
Yeah, well said. And, I don't think my kids would have known it was written by Wham until the cranky old man in the basement pointed it out. So that's kind of the way it goes. Yeah.
Now, one interesting thing here, too, is it's the second of two songs so far in this countdown that introduce sadness and melancholy to Christmas, true. Right?
Yeah. We're a depressed bunch.
Yeah, seriously. What is wrong with you people? All right. Jason Goble earlier had his hand raised. Jason, did you still have a comment?
I guess I was going to say that notwithstanding the cover versions, I always associate this song with Wham. That I still think, like, when I listen to it, I want to hear the Wham version at Christmas, but admittedly, I'm older than Mackenzie and Jason, so.
Yeah, and that's so true, Jason, and if you guys want to talk about dated, you know, check out the video. There's a lot of big hair in that video. I don't know if that style's ever going to come back in, but man, oh, Shevitz.
Well, what was, Patrick, what was your hair like in 1984?
I had a lot more than I did now, yeah. And it was cool, man. Yeah, I guess. I don't know if I ever used, I'm not sure if I've ever used any hair product in my hair, like gel or anything like that. Maybe I did. Who knows? You know. Am I still talking?
Well, speaking of melancholy Christmas, right?
Right. There you go.
Okay, we're going to do one more song in this first episode here.
Cool.
Eight on the countdown. That is The Waitresses with Christmas Wrapping, 1981. Yeah. And what I did not know until doing research for this, I've always loved that song. I think it's tremendous and it's fun and it's like strangely cool, although kind of also hokey at the same time, which makes it a wonderful song. But what I didn't realize is until doing research here is how quickly it like was put together. Apparently they were pressured by the record label to do a Christmas song for some compilation album that was coming out, and they didn't take it seriously. And then at the last minute, it's like, you know, what I used to do was like, you know, cram all night for exams when I was in college. Like it was like last minute, like, well, let's just whip something together. And they somehow, Chris Butler from The Waitresses wrote this like really elaborate, very wordy sort of song. I mean, it was this sort of like all night haze or whatever going on, but he and they put it together very quickly and they didn't think anything of it, and then it became a big, you know, Christmas hit.
Pretty amazing. And I learned a couple of things about this. One was I love that the B-side of the original single was called Hangover, January 1st, 1983. So maybe that was part of it. And something I maybe, I don't know if I ever knew, but, or maybe I forgot it, but relearned it, is that the drummer in The Waitresses, Jim, at one point and on this recording is Billy Fika, who played drums for a little band called Television that some of us might have heard of. So it's weird that he played on Marquee Moon and Christmas Wrapping by The Waitresses. So one of those weird little music nuggets. But yeah, it's a cool song. It's got a great new wave feel to it, but it has a cool little story in it and, you know, just kind of bops along. And it really got a lot of votes. It showed up on varied ballots, meaning, you know, it wasn't all weirdos like you and me, GM, picking it. It was all kinds of different people.
The normals, too.
That's right. Some normal people who may not be insane. Right. Yeah.
Once again, though, carries on the theme of this show, the melancholy Christmas.
There you go.
Right? She's going to skip Christmas this year. She's so, you know, sort of upset and stressed out with the hassle of it and everything at the beginning of the song. And isn't until she finally hooks up with the guy at the end that she decides Christmas is all right.
All because of cranberries. It's a beautiful story.
One last thing I'll say too. Oh, so of course, Christmas wrapping, you know, play on wrapping, which of course evokes Christmas Wrapping by Curtis Blow, which was a big, you know, rap song in the late 70s. And also, I think her Patty Donahue's delivery was really spot on here, because it could have gone off the rails if she had turned up the rapping just a little bit more, right? But it's more of a sing talk kind of style, which I think really works nicely in this song.
Kept it nicely in check. Yeah, well said, Jim. Better than some other singers who've tried that approach, for sure. Right.
There are no hands raised right now. Does anyone have comments on the Waitress's song? Oh, wait, Mike Wagner.
Okay, two things. First, you mentioned the drummer, but also the bass player. Next time you hear that song, listen to the bass. It's absolutely killer, by Tracy Wormworth, who ended up playing with the B-52s later on.
All right.
So, I mean, just fantastic bass. Next time you hear it. And the other thing is, Chris Butler, the writer of the song, was on John Lamoureux's podcast. And it's funny you mentioned that he wrote it really quick, because he says he can still live off the royalties from this song to this day, because it's like,
there you go.
Man after my own heart. So,
coming from someone who knows a thing or two about writing a very cool Christmas song. So, yes, Mr. Wagner.
Yeah, what is that song again?
The song that Mike wrote?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas With You.
That's right.
Available to find streaming services near you.
Yes.
And who is the artist people should search for?
Sheila Swift, not Taylor Swift. If Taylor Swift does it, then I will probably be able to.
You will. Never.
Yes, I'll come visit you at holidays on your yacht.
That's right. We'll never buy a drink when we're around Mike ever again.
Thanks for everybody. Thanks for all my friends. And
check that out. Check that out, people. But I want to build off of what Mike was saying, though, too, is there is something to that, right? The fact that these songs come around every year. If you can write a hit Christmas song, that is money in the bank, right?
Big deal. Big deal. That's right. Yeah. Because, you know, it comes around every 365 days and all that. And you know, gosh, I'm sure Bing Crosby's estate, right, is still cashing in mega ducats from, you know, the White Christmas song and White Christmas, or the Bing, you know, the classic Bing album where it's just his head with the Santa cap on. So
love that album. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So here we go. Any other thoughts on Christmas wrapping? All right. Let's wrap this up now. And tomorrow you'll hear more of the holiday song countdown. All right. You guys all stick around till tomorrow. Come back tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
So we'll do this again. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you all then. Take a couple minutes break if anyone needs to, you know, refresh their eggnog.